Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's a gentleman who came to me some time ago. He has been born again for a while, but he went to some of our traditional churches, so they would, you know, put all this information in you, which they are so passionate about, and they are so convinced it's true. So then somehow he landed on my teachings, and now he downloaded quite a number of them. And was listening to them like one after the other. So he came to meet me in office after a while and told me that number one, he could not speak in tongues. Now, that's the interesting thing, is that they would spend the night in church praying, but he could not speak in tongues. So I wonder, what were they praying? I wonder what anybody would pray about for 1 hour. Man, you really have to be a good talker to have stuff to say in 1 hour when there are no tongues involved. What would you be saying? So, anyhow. But of course, he really wanted to speak in tongues. So now he did something which I'd never heard anybody do, but which worked for him. So he said he got these recordings which from fellowship, and he would, you know, hear me speaking in tongues and just repeat what I'm saying from the recording. So he plays it and hears me speaking in tongues and repeats what I'm saying, just exactly the way I'm saying it. Okay? Now, that's what's called faith. Because you see, people receive tongues by faith. It's there. You can decide to put it far away from you, or you can decide that it's near you. Okay? And Jesus, you can decide that Jesus said, how many of you, your son would ask for, you know, for bread and you give them a stone? Then he says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to, you know, your children. Then he said, how much more will your father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, you either believe Jesus was serious, that he actually wants to give the Holy Spirit. So you say, if he wants to give and I want to receive, there is done deal. So anyhow, after that, what's left is actually faith. Because the reason people don't receive it is they put themselves at a distance from it. So it's something you want, I want, yet it's actually there. So he did that for a few minutes, just repeating what I said. What I was saying, then you'd hear what I'm saying, then repeat it, then rewind, then hear what I'm saying, then repeat it. Now, that did not last a few minutes before actually he doesn't know what happened after that. Something just took him over and he started speaking tongues which sounded like Chinese, and the next thing he knew, it was 1.5 hours later where he had been in a different realm altogether. So 1.5 hours later, now, he just received it by faith. It's there. So, now when you tell people, just say, just repeat. I remember I called Sarah and said, now speak in tongues. Now you just repeat what she's saying. Now you sound foolish. Like if something sounds foolish, it's most probably spiritual. Because it was not meant to sound, nothing is intelligent about it. Now, actually, he told me something which amazed me. He told me that he could hear himself speaking in his spirit. He was speaking a known language, and outward, another language was coming out, where he's saying something different, which is coherent inside of him, and outside, something also coherent is coming out. Now, what the Lord was trying to show him is that the reason people are offended by tongues is because they expect them to mean sense. That's just residue. It's like the actual speaking, what comes out of your mouth, is residue. The communication is from your spirit to the spirit of God. You understand? Now there, actually, you're saying very meaningful words, only it is not for the consumption of any other person. It is between you and the spirit of God. Now this one who is outward trying to consume is eavesdropping on a conversation which is not his. That's why he hears ba 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 ba, and then he says, look at that foolish guy. But that's not what the spirit of God is hearing. The spirit of God is hearing very, very powerful things, and there is a real connection happening. Now for him, he actually had an experience where he knew what he was saying in the spirit, and yet he was hearing it coming out different in the natural. So then he's saying, and using two languages, I think he's an Acholi. So he was speaking English and Acholi, the same things, but different languages. The spirit saying one thing and the outward coming out one thing. And now it just really transformed him, because he understood that I don't have to understand what I'm saying with my mind. The tongues are not, have nothing to do with the mind, absolutely nothing to do with the mind. If you want to pray in the mind, be like you, the way you was praying, eh? You know, and spend all the energy, expend all your energy throughout the night praying. And in the morning, you've actually, if they were to get your words said and sieve out all the rubbish, you would have prayed effectively for like 3 minutes after a whole night. Because you can't fail to repeat yourself. Can you? You'll end up repeating yourself, doing what. So now I'm saying that just so that you know, Jesus said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Just ask. If it is, as far as Jesus was concerned, it is easier for you to speak in tongues than it is for you to give bread to your son. You understand? So if your son asks for bread and you give him, Jesus said, how much easier it is for your father to give you the Holy Spirit than it is for you to actually give what? Bread to your son. So just by doing that, something simple, I just had to say that there's a reason I said it, of course, because, praise the Lord. Then also something interesting. Now, what I realized about people like that, the first time he came, the first thing I told him, because of course now, here is what people don't understand. When somebody comes and stands before me, I am seeing, for the most part, I am seeing like they are calling. I'm seeing they are calling, and that's something God gave me, that I can just see, look at somebody, and know this guy is going to be so great. Only, he doesn't know it, but he's going to be great. Even in areas where they doesn't look apparent. Like you see somebody and you say, man, this guy is going to be rich. And he's very broke. And you're seeing him and you're seeing, man, this guy is going to be rich. And it is always the case. And you know that this one is going to do. So he comes and he tells me that, and I know what he's going to do. But then I know where he has been. So the first thing I told him was, I gave him a crash course on the grace of God. I told him, here where we are, as far as we are concerned, we do not live by the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We live by the tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We live by the tree of life. And that means, because you tell me this was not working, then I realized maybe like I wasn't doing well, I wasn't what, I had sinned against God. You know that theology. I told him, now that does not matter at all. That is not how the God we serve operates, okay? He knows there's a great allowance for you to do fake things. That's why God had to send Jesus Christ. Amen? So, and I told him something which so many years ago, when I was also bound in that thing of everything that goes wrong, you start looking at what you did wrong. You understand, eh? And yet it's the devil messing you up. Instead of just handling him, you start trying to handle yourself. Something which I heard from a certain man, and of course I've said it here before, of how the Lord, or in the Old Testament, when on the Day of Atonement, when a sinner went to the high priest, to atone for their sins. Now, there were laws concerning how the atonement would work, and there were specifications about the lamb that had to be used. No blemish, 1 year old, ba ba ba, ba 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 ba. So the man would carry a lamb from among his flock and go before the high priest. And the high priest examines the lamb to see if the lamb fits the specifications given in the law of Moses. Praise the Lord. The high priest does not examine the man. He has no business with the man. He knows the man is a sinner. That's why he is there. He's interested in the what? The lamb. And once the lamb passes the test, the man has passed the test. In other words, if the high priest says your lamb is perfect, it fits into the specifications of the laws of Moses, then the high priest takes the lamb from you and goes and sacrifices it. And for the next 1 year until the next day of atonement, your sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, God does not look at us. He looks at the lamb. Amen? And you know who the lamb is. So he's not interested in you. He's interested in the lamb. Praise the Lord. So when you go there, you go with the lamb. Eh? And he's not examining you. He knows you very. The reason you're there is because he knows you. But he looks at the lamb and Jesus Christ. And he says, perfect. So you're sorted. Only this time, not for 1 year. For life, forever. As long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And as long as he's still your lamb. So now when I told him, now because I know the scripture says that, it says that, somewhere in the epistles, Paul says that ever since you started bearing fruit, after you got to know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realized that until you cannot get into the place of bearing fruit, when you still believe that God is examining you rather than examining the lamb, praise the Lord. If you still believe he's looking at you, the high priest never looked at the person who has, no, he has no business with you. There are no laws concerning who is supposed to bring a lamb. There are only laws concerning the lamb. Amen? Yeah, and God got his own lamb. Okay? Whom we all present before him. So the examination, okay, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and bringing forth fruit. You start from verse 5. It says, because of the hope, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all your love for all the saints, okay, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now I want you to know this. I want you to go back to verse 4. Because you see, we have problems so many times, and I've had problems with people who have never had a first love. You understand? People who got called, who got saved in coldness and persist in coldness. Now it is easy when somebody became saved in hotness and somehow became cold because they have a first love to go back to. That's what it tells the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2. Go back to your first love. But what if there was no first love? Have you ever seen people like that? Where there has never been any passion in their life about anything to do with God. Nothing. Zero passion. Like they enter passionless. And they stay passionless, and it is very difficult to arouse them into anything. Because somebody who has ever had a first love, it is so easy. Because they remember how it once was. Praise the Lord. I mean, and as long as it once was there, it can be rekindled. Now I said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, which is like the beginning of the whole gospel, because your hope which is laid up in heaven, which you have heard before the word of truth, now all that, eh? You know, we get born again, we go to heaven, blah, blah, blah. Now this is, you know, then it says, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and bringing forth fruit. Now it's for the word of truth to actually start bringing forth fruit, it has to move away from, you know, now I'm saved, I'm going to heaven and what. Now God knows how many years we thought getting saved means now I can die and that's it. Amen? And actually, it was because now, me, I got born again. I think one of the first Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames at Kampala Pentecostal Church. When it was still a church and not an NGO. Now, And it was actually, you know, really, you know, at some stage, at least they have a first love to go back to. If they ever go back is a different story, but they have one. Now, then you know that, you know, this thing that now I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, what? And then you have this sense that even the heaven is not exactly sorted. Eh? You have to make sure that when you die, somehow you've sorted everything. Eh? And I know there are so many people, there was even a pastor who was telling me that, if you just die like that, what if you just come from thinking something wrong? Man, hell. Now, and then that can completely make you feel like you don't belong. Imagine, like, you totally don't belong because just something small you did wrong after all the years of something small. You die. Sorry. Hell. Can you imagine? Like, it is so... You realize how wrong that is. Eh? And then... But then, for it to come from that, and there's a reason the devil does that, okay? Now, there's some pastor who made a lot of news, a Ugandan guy, when he said, Jesus told him that, man, if I came now, like over how much fraction of all the church? Hell. Then he said that, not of the world, of the church. Then he said, now even you. And now there is a way people receive those messages. Eh? So somebody came and told me, can you imagine, even Apostle so and so said you would go to hell? Now, and they don't realize that, man, there is a lot of deception. Eh? And now the person who is saying that actually saw a vision. But they don't realize there's a lot of deception there. Because let me tell you this. Now, if somebody has just gotten born again, is just getting to know these things and what, then they come, let's say they come here. Then Jesus appears to them and says, man, you have to work hard. You see, even the watchman, hell. The person will say, then there is no point. Let me just go to enjoy life and go to hell. Isn't it? Because where is... And now the devil knows what he's doing. He raises the bar so high to discourage people. Because now what am I supposed to do? Then now you set you up for misery all your life. Because all the time you're there with the sword of Damocles hanging over you, anytime you're going to what? To hell. Now when people... And then you'll never bear any fruit. That is the result of it. Because he knows you believing that is not going to stop you from going to heaven. Because you'll be surprised when that time comes, when you find, I thought I was going to heaven. No, sorry. No, all along, actually, you are going to heaven. That was a lie. Eh? But in that time, you no fruit whatsoever. You not have born fruit. So he says, and bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God. Now, when you get past the grace of God, then now you actually start bearing fruit. Because you know I belong here. Nobody is ever going to take me away from here. Praise the Lord. Eh? No mistake is going to take me away from this kingdom. This is my kingdom. I belong here. So now that I know I belong and I'm not going to be dismissed on the basis of one small, now I am empowered to go and bring other people. Amen? Because I'm sure that I am bringing them to something where I belong and I'm not going to be disinherited just because of one mistake or two or three or four or five. Praise the Lord. Now, this whole thing. So, after I told him that, then the next thing, and something interesting, then he went and had a dream, which I found very interesting. Now, you see, I settled it some time ago, that there is nothing I don't like stagnation, or like getting comfortable with a certain place and not thinking there is another place for you to go to. Not seeing that there's the next step, and then after that there's another one. Then after that there's another one. Amen? So, and then I sat down and said, because you kind of think that I'm going to work hard, then when we get here, when I get to this place, then that's going to be a time for cheating. Then you realize, actually, in the plan of God, there is no time for cheating. Eh? Then I realize, you've heard me saying that, we'll cheat in heaven. Amen? When the harvest of this earth is over. Praise the Lord. But right now, what seems like a progress, it's just temporary. God will give you a small allowance to enjoy that new progress. Then he says, okay, next. We have to keep on moving. Praise the Lord. Now, then this guy had a dream. He said he was somewhere in a cave. Eh? If I remember it well. If he was here, I would have preferred for him to come and tell it himself. He's somewhere in a cave. Then he was staying in some place, I don't know. Then somehow I come myself and tell him, now start climbing up these stairs. And apparently where he was actually comfortable. And I tell him, start climbing up these stairs. So he climbs up the stairs, climbs, then gets to some point, and now he finds a throne for himself. Then he sits there. He sits on the throne. And as soon as he sat on the throne, there were people there to serve him as if he's king. So somebody came and put a crown on him. Then others were bringing for him, you know, things to eat. You know, cappuccino and all. Okay, not cappuccino, but, you know, like they were coming to serve him. So now, but as he was climbing the stairs, he says, he looks behind and then he sees me destroying. I told him, don't look behind. Walk up those stairs. Don't look behind. And I warned him, don't look behind. So he started walking. But said when he got somewhere, he was tempted to look behind. Then he turned and looked behind and saw me destroying the place where he was staying. Like some girls, I was hammering it. Pam, 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 completely destroying it. And he said, So he was in shock. But he continued walking up. Now, when he had just sat on the throne, and they were serving him, and life was good, then I came. Now I came following him behind. And I told him, what are you doing here? Stand up. Continue walking. Now he said, then the crown was taken away and what? Then he started walking up the stairs again. Then he walked, and now reached another place which seemed to be higher and what? Then now he says, this is it. Then he sat down, and they brought now a bigger throne, and now they started serving him and what? Then he was like, man, life is good. Then I came from behind, and I told him, no. Get off the chair, stand up, continue walking. Then the guy was like, man, now this guy. So he continued walking up. Then he said, at the top of it, he saw the sun. The sun, like the real sun. Then it seemed to like come there. Then actually, he walked into the sun inside, and entered and vanished into it. Praise the Lord. You know, there are people who have hated me for like telling them that, like, what is the next step? Now what next? So okay, we've heard your testimony, nice. Now what next? Like really? And the idea of hating, that thing of getting comfortable with a certain place just because it seems to be nice. Amen? And you seem to be having people serving you and what. But eventually, I'm not so sure I understood the dream. I didn't want to interpret it for him. But I think it was self-explanatory, isn't it? It kind of is. Okay, for you it might be, but maybe for him it wasn't that self-explanatory. Anyhow, but because he has not been in this, you know, dream or other things for so long. Glory to God. Now, I realize that there are so many people here, the reason I'm saying this, who actually have settled for places which were supposed to be destinations, which were supposed to be part of a journey, and they have made it a destination. And that is so, so bad. Because at the very least, there has to be a willingness on your part to let go of that small crown you have to move to the next one. And there has to be a sense of a knowing inside you that when something that was once, you know, you once celebrated, starts becoming a bore, and you know you're no longer moved by it and so on, it is time for you to know that the next stage is beckoning. Praise the Lord. Now, some people don't understand that the next stage comes through discomfort over what you know, usually. Not actually usually, a level of discomfort and what. When I got this job, man, I was happy. But suddenly you're so disillusioned about the job. You're trying to hang on. People who once loved you no longer love you in the place and what. And it is just actually telling you that your time there is up. Amen? So you know there are certain things which, and you see them. Now there's a place, a place where I stay, and I go to a time when, now the gate man, I get in the car and hoot, the guy is right there, but he waits like 3 minutes. Then he comes sauntering like this to open the gate. Sometimes I just get out of the car and go and open the gate myself. And the guy is right there. So it kind of annoyed my people. Then I said, no, our time here is up. Now this man is just projecting a message. So I said, now our time here is up. It's time for me to move on somewhere else. Because how can he? But you know, everything around you, whatever. Then suddenly the Kasasiro people don't come to pick Kasasiro. Then suddenly what and what? Then everything, man, then you just know it's time for me to leave this place. Eh? Now, the thing is, when I realize it's time for me to leave, I don't waste time. Because every minute wasted thereafter is actually wasted. You're hanging onto something which is dead. And it is going to just aggravate you completely. Completely. And you keep on getting aggravated. People are what? Your boss doesn't like me. This is what? Nothing is happening. And what? And it's actually just informing you that, thank you very much. Your time in this place is what? Is over. Now move on. Move to something else. And now if you don't do that, what happens is, is people who belong there start seeing you as an intruder. What are you doing there? What are you doing here? I remember I told you a friend of mine was in a place. I went to his home and I said, you, this guy. I knew that because it happened to me so many years ago. I think around 2002, 2003. Some guy came to my place and, you know, bachelor, what? You know, I have a nice place. It's convenient, what? I just drive out of here a few minutes away from work, what? Guy told me, never know. This place is no longer your place. Eh? You move on. He said, why don't you find another place? I said, why? This place is convenient. The supermarket is there. This is here. Takeaway is here. This is here. What? I mean, why do you want to live from there? Then the guy said, he didn't have a reason. He said, just leave. Just move from this place. But don't you see you've outgrown this place? I said, no. They first came for me with guns. Then I realized, now the night they came for me with guns, I did not sleep in that place, not even one night after that. All the time I spent looking for another house, I was sleeping in some other place. I did not even go back to the house. Yet, the message had been there. And then, even when he tells you, you are denying, but your witness inside tells you is true. But you want to, you're so used to it. Now, then of course it happens. Now this guy told, but man, you guy. Then he's showing you how good the place is. You have to go through gullies and what to go to his house. And then when you get to his house, it's actually, he has nice things and what and everything is, you know, splendid. But it's not supposed to be in that place. They came for him. They came for him with thieves. And, you know, places where they steal TVs. They plucked the TV from the wall and so on. Then he left. If only he had listened. Because you cannot, these are things, you cannot cheat these exams, praise the Lord. It was a crown for as long as you were staying there a short while. It was part of the journey. Don't make it the destination. Anyhow, so now, the things that we have in mind about where we are going. Eh? Now, when some people are struggling to think of me about being here, me, I'm way past there. Now, those are yours. Eh? If you're struggling to see me in a certain place, eh? How is it going to happen? How can it happen? How is what? Sorry, me, I moved on from there a long time ago. Now I'm already past that. I'm somewhere else. The thing you're struggling with was already done deal some time ago. Eh? In the spirit. Me, I says, in the spirit, this is finished. Now, huh? What next? What next? We shall rest after the rapture. When there is a party for 300, okay, we don't know how many years. Eh? A party, just, you know, party after what? In heaven. That's where the rest is actually. But here, I settled it in my heart that there is no rest. Every success, there's just a small allowance. For you to... And that's how life is. You see, some people don't understand. Now, people don't understand. Everything in life is set in a certain way. Amen? So maybe your son sat P7 and he's excited. He got aggregate 4. But in a few months, he's going to be in S1. Being bullied. And now that's also what. Then now he looks forward to S4. Then he celebrates. But there's something else afterwards. Then something else afterwards. Then something else afterwards. But in the spirit, people think that you're going to arrive and somehow you've arrived. Then you're like this, you know, these people want to create a school curriculum where there are no exams. What kind of stupidity is that? Life is full of exams. So are you going to go to ask for a job interview and say, come and start assessing me from home? You have to sit an exam to get the job. Actually, life is one big exam, isn't it? Yeah. So, regardless of what was apparently wrong with the education system, you cannot remove exams. That is how life is conducted. Every part of life is exam. You go for a job exam, go for this exam, go to stand for MP somewhere exam. Isn't it? Failure, success, success, failure, failure. Of course, in our case, success, success, success. Afterwards, success. But exam after. Now, how can you remove exams? Like, okay. But the problem when somebody who is illiterate is trying to be in charge of things which. Praise the Lord. You get an illiterate person. Anyway. I just said that to impress certain people who came to hear things like those. Praise the Lord. But now let me tell you something. The way it is, when you're sensitive to things like those, like levels and so on, there is no way you cannot sense that your time in a place is over. Actually, when you're sensitive generally to the Spirit of God, when you choose to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and now that is really a choice. I'll give you an example. I was hearing a man saying how he was fighting. They were fighting. He was a soldier. Okay, I think a chaplain or something like that. And they were fighting in a war. And there was this woman who had a baby. Now, they would be sleeping in trenches, and there are mortars and what and bullets all over the place, okay? And there is a lot of noise, but she would sleep right through the noise until her baby just turns a bit, then she wakes up. Now, why is that? Because she's sensitive to that. Now, you can desensitize yourself to all the noise and sleep because you've not prioritized it. But as soon as the baby even just squeaks a bit, she's up. And now the sound the baby makes in comparison to the sound of the motors and the shells and all that is minute. But because she has made it is so sensitive in her, she has made it, you understand? In her heart, she has made it sensitive. It is the one sound she will hear and she will leave all other sounds. So at no one time amidst all that noise, did the baby wake up and she's still asleep? No, she would hear the sound of the baby. Now, of course, there is noise around us, but you can actually make the Spirit of God, like the voice of the Spirit, be that close to you that you will hear through all noise and hear when the Spirit of God is telling you something. How do you do it? By prioritizing it the way a woman would do her baby. And that is the priority. That is the one thing that matters. Amen? So there is a chidongo next door. There is what? And maybe you're downstairs, the baby's upstairs. But the minute the baby makes the first sound, whew, the woman is up and runs. Praise the Lord. Now, but then also you can decide over a period of time to harden your heart, and your heart becomes progressively harder, harder, harder. That's what it means. That's why it says in the scripture that these people worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are very far away from me. In other words, they have no sense of, they are not sensitive to what God is saying. They are not sensitive to the things to which he's sensitive. So the things which matter to him don't matter to them whatsoever. Because their hearts have drawn further and further away. And now I'll tell you this, this does not happen instantly. It actually happens over a period of time. Over a very long period of time. Sometimes not too long, but over a period of time. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, it is that place of the heart where actually the sensitivity is, and the settling it in your mind that, can I be somebody who understands that I am looking out for a time? Is it time for me to move? If it is time, I don't have to know where. I just have to know it is time for me to move. Praise the Lord. Now, and of course you have to know that God will always do those things. Eh? And when your time passes, and people don't understand this, when your time passes for a certain period of time, after that, you become very uncomfortable. But if you insist on being in that place, you actually become comfortable again, and now you've officially stagnated. Life is moving past you. Because the discomfort was supposed to pass on to you a message, but you refused to heed it. And all these other things were supposed to pass on the message. And even sometimes people will come and say, do you still stay in the other place? And the person is telling you something. Do you still drive that car? And the person is telling you something. Amen? And that might be the voice of God saying, yeah, now you should have moved on from this by now. Then you get angry. What do you mean? Do I still stay? I've only stayed in this place for 8 years. So, and you get angry and offended, yet actually somebody is telling you something. Are you still in that job? The last time I saw you, are you still there? I say, yes, I'm there. Now even they promoted me. And there is a message that you've just missed there. And let me tell you, there is the only way you are going to step into something which is of any consequence in this generation is if you understand how to move from one thing to another. Amen? Eh. If you even revelation, one revelation to another, one place to another, one everything, where there has to be a sense of increase somewhere in every part of your life. Okay? Because it is sad when we are left with some few years to the return of the Lord, for you to be there, man, stagnated. Because right now, God actually just finds somebody else. Because there are things which are urgent, which have to be done now. Now, you settle it in your heart that I do not want God to ever have to find somebody else because I became comfortable in a place which was supposed to be a destination. Praise the Lord. Now, that man's dream was very powerful in that giving us that message, because he relayed it so well how you'd be comfortable and I would come. And now there are people, of course, who, like, you tell them, you seem to be pushing them on, and they look at you and say, it's as if you don't appreciate where I am. Now the thing is, actually I appreciate, but I appreciate where you're going more than where you are. And you know, the thing with being in my place is I can see. Eh? I can see somebody, and I see, and that is like something which God gave me, the ability to see people's destinations. When they have just walked into, I remember some guy who walked to my office some time ago, way back. And he walked in, and I just knew, wow, look at this guy. And you're seeing something which is not there, but you know which is actually there. So, but of course you don't say anything. You look at him, then he's come to somebody. One watchman guy had brought him and was trying to convince him to come to watchman. Let's go and see him. Then he was like, me, I'm submitted somewhere else. What? You know, eh? So he came. Now he came with all this, so he started telling me his dreams, expecting me to interpret, eh? But I didn't. I don't interpret dreams these days, by the way, at all. So I looked at him, and then I was listening to his dreams, and I was seeing somebody who has a big, big international calling. But then the tragedy was, he had chosen, now here is where things happen. to submit to a place where they have very good words, but which words carry no power. Now, I actually know that place for one thing. All the people who go there are broke. Now, you know the funny thing about money? Eh? Money is a very good leveler. Eh? Because you can forge so many other things. You can forge revelation, you can forge what? But you cannot forge money. It's either there or it's not there. Have you ever seen those guys who also are? They say also as we're having what? Prophetic word. Eh? Then they say this year, God is going to remain on the throne. I have a word for you this year. God is going to what? And on the throne. Mm. This year, some people are going to rise and others are going to what? Yes. I saw a guy like that on TV. Eh? This year, some people are going to be born and others are going to what? Yeah. That is the prophetic word for what? 2020. So you see, even prophecies can be forged. But you cannot forge money. It says that they are what? It's not there. I remember a guy who, when I was first on Spirit FM, I don't know why, you know these people who have been taught all these things, success, success, chasing success. Eh? So the guy, you know, you meet all sorts of people. Eh? Now, the gentleman, one day I was going in up there at Spirit FM to record my program. Now that guy used to have fellowships eh? in like three different places in town. We have a fellowship here on this day, another one here on this day, another one on the other day. All of them with different names, eh? But all of them his. Eh? So in other words, the Watchman Fellowship at Lugogo Friday, then the End Time Fellowship somewhere on Wednesday. You understand? Eh? But it's all me. And now that's how, you know, those things of chasing success, success. So one day I'm just walking and I knew him. And he had the gift. Eh? He actually has a prophetic gift. So I was arriving at Spirit FM. So I met him. So I said, hey, hi, how are you? What? I told him that. Small talk, really. Eh? Because I don't listen to radio. I don't even listen to myself. Huh? So I told him, hey, so you have a program here. Small talk. Eh? Like I can say, hey, you've come here to have a cup of tea. Eh? So I told him, hey, you have a program here. So what are you saying? You think you're the only one who has a program here? Then he told me, by the way, for your information, I have three programs here. Then he told me, over one is on which day, one is on the other day. So I'm in shock. I'm saying, how did we get here? So, and he said, for your information, over what? So I'm in shock. So I said, hey, okay. Hey. So now, I to calm the situation down, I said, oh, wow, that's wonderful. Hey, what? He said, yeah, so you're not the only one who has a program here? and now, like, okay, how does somebody even think having a program on radio is a big deal? Eh? So, anyhow. But then the funny thing is, now, after some time, the radio was saying, of course, Watchman was what? The most listened to program. Because we were teaching end time things, which nobody else what? Was teaching, eh? Hey, not because Ndiwakabi, eh? But because of the okay Ndiwakabi, eh? But but you understand? Okay, the subject was unique. Eh? By the way, these are not just stories. Eh? You see, you have to understand that. You see, when you are going to walk with God, you have to know that there are certain things which God tells people, which He's not going to tell you again, because He expects that person to what? To tell you. Now, if God tells me something and I tell it to you, He has told you. Eh? Eh? He has told what? He has told you. Don't expect Him to come and tell you again that I mean I want to hear it from God. You will not. You will not, praise the Lord. Eh? So there are certain things where someone says, you know, Then the person comes and tells you, especially now, like in scenarios like this where we don't just speak things, then tells you, then this and this happened. Now, you see, because people don't know how to make a word from God your word. You understand? So I remember way back, the first time when I was, some years ago, when Prophet Elvis told me his first experience when the Lord appeared to him, and he said, he told him, without saying the words, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Now, after that, I said, God, you said, no, I'm not getting it from the scripture, I'm getting it from him. If you told it to him and he told it to me, he told it to me. Do you understand that? Hey, because even these words here, he did not tell them to me. He told them to Moses. But now I'm saying them as if he told them to. Hey, he said them to John. The words of revelation which I preach, did he tell them to me? No, he told them to the Apostle John. But he told them to me. Amen? Hey, John is out of the equation right now. It is God to me. Praise the Lord. Now you have to learn that even me, I tell you God told me this, now I'm out of the what? It is God to you. If you receive it like that, then it's now God to you. Then it is your, I've taken it. Because otherwise then the Bible would say, God first, Jesus first tell me how did you die? Then Jesus, no, I told Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. I mean, I want to hear it for myself. You'll be fine. Amen? Because he's not going to do that for you. Now, that time when he had told me to start meeting people for the first time, weekly. Then I picked Friday in the spirit. Okay? So somehow, my mind thought Friday, you know, Friday is what? You know, night prayer. So I said, we are starting night prayers. So everybody was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we started night prayers. And now the night prayers were actually okay. And so many people used to come and attend and they would pray. People had learned how to pray and so on. But after 1 month, I was so uncomfortable about the night prayers. Then I started wondering, why? Why am I uncomfortable about night prayers? What's wrong? Then, now here is how the Spirit of God communicates things. Now all that time, you're still within the realm of you picking it and moving on. You understand? If you insist, and as I could have insisted, no night prayers, because actually, in the eyes of so many people, they were successful. Maybe even more so than this fellowship. You understand? But I was so unhappy. It got to a point where it would come to Friday, and I even don't want to go to the night prayer. And man, I'm like, man, no, night prayer. And like the zeal for it was not there. You even try to be excited about, then you start psyching yourself. To psych yourself about it, it's not there, then it's not there. And yet we had wonderful choir, guys would come and sing and we praise and what. Then you know, and it seemed to be okay. The administration of the ministry, we are comfortable. And even the finance was okay. You understand? Because there are certain financial laws that I'd learned by that time, which were okay. But they were okay as long as I'm in that period of where you are still listening to God, where God gives you an allowance to project that thing on you, project it on you. Now, if you insist, then the money starts you. The next thing you know, Baba Banja. We don't have money for night prayer. I know how those things work. And usually it comes with that. Either you've missed the element of the word of God, or you've missed the element of where the will of God is, or what people have perfected these days, speaking the right things, but being far away from them. And I know some places in this city where you go, man, and they speak powerful things, but they are the real description of clouds without rain. You know when people speak grand things, but when you dissect through everything, you see struggle after struggle. And when you see the lives of individual people, you cannot point out one person. I remember one person came and told me, you know this, that, you know what, you know, oh man, God preaches like what, and he's so eloquent, and blah, blah, blah. Then I said, tell me, do you know one person there in that fellowship you go to who you can say this person came when he was like this and there has been a clear, undisputable upward trajectory? I said, name one person, just one. Then you come back next Wednesday and we talk. The guy came and told me, to be honest, I can't think of one person. One. Then he said, actually, most people I know, they seem to have come rich and they seem to be struggling now. And you cannot forge the Spirit of God. He's either where in what you're doing or he's not there. Amen? He's either there or he's not there. When he's not there, it is seen from the lives of the people who come to you. It is clear that they seem to be going in an opposite direction from where progress is. Amen? And so when you understand that, you have to keep yourself in line. Because if you go off, man, that's why the scripture says that teachers will be judged harshly. Because you can take so many people off and destroy so many people's lives. And I don't want that. Praise the Lord. Because now for you, go and do your things, and then people's lives start going in the opposite direction. Now on the day of judgment, you won't answer for that. It's not just you. Whereas somebody who is there, you answer for yourself. You and yourself. Now somebody who is in a position of what you have to answer for. You know, every other thing. So the guy said, actually, most of the people I know, this one came like this, one came like this, one came like this, one came like this. And then, you know, the truth is, man, don't lie yourself. Eh? Money is one of the easiest ways of knowing where the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Amen? I will not say money, I will say provision. Amen? It is one of the easiest ways. So I looked. Now, of course, we did not get to a point where provision had run out at the night prayers because I was sensitive. So I would go and pray. Then when I start praying for the night prayer, I feel as if I'm hitting on a wall. Bam, bam, bam. Eh. So I say, we are under attack. No, we are not under attack. God was communicating something else. Then eventually, now here is how the Lord speaks. You know, some people think that it's going to just be, there has to be an element of seeking. Eh? So then I started saying, what is wrong? Then I put myself in seeking mode. What am I doing wrong? Then he said, no, it's not supposed to be a night prayer. It's supposed to be an evening fellowship. Okay? But then because we had done a night prayer for a number of months and seemed to be going well, I actually went and asked. And he told me, no, actually, that's true. It's not supposed to be a night prayer. Now, when I knew that, I went and set a date for when we are doing our first evening fellowship and said we are closing the night prayers with immediate effect. Now, there was actually no outward reason for me to close them because it hadn't started flopping. But if I had waited an extra 2 or 3 months, that would come. Praise the Lord. That would what? I remember a friend of mine told me he went to a certain church and started a revival. Revival. And the first thing that would happen is money. Suddenly you have no money to, because we'd have, everything was catered for. Remember, we used to even give tea and bread and all, you remember? Eh? Yeah. So my point is, everything seemed to be okay. Now, so this friend of mine told me that after he had started a revival in some place, everybody, you know, people started praying. Just because something is right doesn't mean it's right. Now, here is where I couldn't even start explaining to that guy where the issue is with money is. He has to start first submit himself to the will of God before you even start. Now, that's P1. Eh? The starting place, submit yourself to the will of God, P1. Now, after that, seek. Start learning how to seek. And now the answers might not come immediately. Or they might come immediately. But just seek God. Why am I not feeling comfortable with this? Why is this not working out? Why is that? Now, anyhow, so the revival started, what? Then the Lord told him, at the peak of a revival, people would come and pray every day. You know, those were those years, the 80s. Eh? People had a lot of time. People had a lot of time. But they were actually richer and more blessed. There were no hungry people. Our society was doing very well, by the way. Before what? The fruits of the movement started taking root. Eh? To create all this poverty. Nobody failed to have what to eat. I'm telling you that. Eh? Some of you are shaking your heads. You're too young to know. Me, I know. Eh? Me, I'm of the age where actually I know what I'm talking about. So, you're not yet even. You're in your 20s and you think you know. You don't know nothing. So, and you're shaking your head. Anyhow, so what I'm saying is, so people would pray at the peak of their, you know, the revival. God told him, stop that revival and leave that church. He said, no. Are you sure this is the voice of God? How can God go against such a revival? But you know, bad. But he said he knew it was the Spirit of God. Then after some time, there's always an allowance. After some time, the Spirit of God told him, if you don't leave now, you're going to live in strife. How many of you have had to live in strife because you didn't live at the right time? Even jobs and what, you don't live at the right, you live in strife. It happens all the time. Yet you could have walked away very well at the right time, and you go when everybody loves you. And you go. But because you overstayed, you leave when you've chankalanyad everybody. You can no longer even step back at that place. You understand? Eh? Some of me, like when I go back to my old workplace, I'm a celeb. Only that these days I hammered their boss, so they don't like me. I gave their boss a rant. The ranter of rantists. Eh? So they don't like me. Okay, the boss doesn't like me, but the people like me. But I can't go there. They might call for me police. But anyhow, I left at the right time because I felt my time here is up. And I said, you know, I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what's there, but let me go. I remember I met a friend of mine the other day at, there's something I'm communicating to you, by the way. I met a friend of mine the other day at the gym. Actually, I think either last Friday or what. So I was there dressing up. Then he told me, man, we worried for you when you left. We were saying, does Kableta know what he's doing? I told him for the first 2 years I didn't. But I felt it was time for me to what? To move on. He said, man, we are worried for you now. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive? How are you going to what? Praise the Lord. Then I realized that, but man, the things God does, eh? You just walk into a blind alley and you don't know where you're going, but he's in control. And until you learn how to do that, eh, you never actually get to the top of the things. Because there has to be a sense of, now imagine that guy's dream of, now you're here comfortable, somebody comes and puts a throne on you. Bam. Then they come and start serving you, man, you sit and what? No, stand up, continue climbing. Then he said the third time he was climbing and he was tired. Then he looks behind, I'm telling you, climb, then man, tired. So this is what I'm telling you today. Eh? So God tells him, leave this church, otherwise you live in strife. He refused. But because the revival had become so big, and now it seemed that people even from other churches would come and pray, and there were actually miracles happening. Now let me tell you, that time it was, in those years, it was almost impossible for people to come, and you find people have been saved for 3 months without talking in tongues. People got baptized in the Holy Spirit immediately. Why? Because people had been taught the Holy Spirit. It was obvious. After getting born again, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So almost all people would get born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some of them even what? Now you see, there's this NGO where I got saved from. They don't even believe in speaking in tongues any longer. But that time they would have overnights where they pray for people who don't speak in tongues. Come and get baptized. And you know what? Like almost 80% of them would get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That same NGO. I remember one overnight, my sister. Tell me how they called people don't speak in tongues, so she went. So they started, they told them, the things we say, just start praying. Say anything. Start praying. They prayed, you know, receive the Holy Spirit, what? Then she said she started praying, then closed her eyes. Then somewhere along the way, something comes and takes you over. And then you don't know what you're saying. But it's like you're half suspended halfway between the... You know, it's like a beautiful feeling, but it's so sweet at the first time. I wish all the time it was like that. Then, after some time, she was there standing, praying like... After some time, they came and tapped her. Sorry, we have to move on to the next stage. It had been 1 hour and a half. They waited for her to get off the stage. She was not, so it was sorry. We know the tongues are sweet. But now we have to move on to what? To something else. That same, whatever, that place. Man, how the mighty have fallen. Anyhow, So, the people would come, there would be miracles, people are baptized, the Holy Spirit, what? And the Lord is saying, stop it. So the guy says, no, they know I'm stopping this. Anyhow, after some time, the pastor got threatened because some people seem to be coming for the revivals more than for church. You know those things, eh? You know, petty. So he went and asked other pastors and told them, what do I do about this gentleman? The guy seems to be stealing the show. Huh? Then they sat in a congregation of pastors, then said that what? That now people like those, what you do, eh? You just blast them in public on the pulpit so that people just lose trust in them. The pastor said, flesh and blood has not revealed that. Man, the next Sunday, the guy called the guy out and spoke things, which were false, by the way, but accused him of all these things. Which people have what? You've messed up the church. Lies. Lies. It would be bad enough if it was true, but it was lies. So, man, the guy left in strife. Now, I learned that, by the way, now I will not have to ever live in strife. Amen? Once I sense in my spirit my time in this place is over, I don't have to find out where I'm going. I go. It finds me there. Praise the Lord. I will find myself in the place I'm supposed to be in, when I'm supposed to be there, but I will go once I know my time here is up. Because, man, that moment of being in a place where you're not supposed to be is not good at all. It's not funky. And I just know this is it. Time up. So, now the word of the Lord, you have to learn how to own these things, okay? You have to learn how to say, me, I can never stay in a place when my time there is up. Now you see, if I say that, you can, you understand? Eh? Just like I can get a word which Matthew said and say it. Praise the Lord. So my experience is to pass on to you my experience, you understand? Eh? So that you don't have to learn, go through the whole process of learning. Eh? You just receive it and say, now, also mean, once my time up in the place, of course, you can also get too excited, which is, but you can sense it from your spirit, and usually it starts there, and the Lord will teach you that before he actually starts, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.